Hey, Regeneration, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery from PTSD, pornography, and seeking to find comfort in alcohol. Great to be with you tonight. If you're here for the first time tonight, we are so thankful that you've entrusted us with a Monday night. And you may not feel like this immediately, but I promise you've come to the right place. Tonight's a special night as we've been focusing at Watermark Community Church during the month of June on loving our city. It's Love Our City Month. We love to focus and feature some of the partnerships we have throughout the Dallas area to serve our city well. And tonight we have a special guest joining us from Our Calling. Our Calling is a very unique and powerful ministry that helps people walk with Jesus and get off the street. Some of you know from personal experience in this room tonight that the streets are mean. Even in having a conversation with our special guest tonight, walking over here, there are 5 people that die every week on the streets of Dallas. So over the course of this year, over 250 people will die on the streets of Dallas. So Our Calling does an amazing job, works with over 3,000 volunteers on an annual basis, has a large staff, loving, caring for people, pointing people to Jesus, why they meet basic needs, and working to get people off the street. And so you're gonna wanna know more about this ministry. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but I would love to welcome up the CEO and pastor of Our Calling, Wayne Walker. Will you join me in welcoming him as he comes up tonight? Wayne, great to have you.
Good evening. How are you guys tonight? My name is Wayne. I have a new life in Christ, and I struggle with a long list, starting with pride, control, insecurities, depression, and anxiety. At Our Calling, we do help people get off the streets, and we do help people walk with the Lord. And that is what we do every single day. And I know that in a room this big, there may be some people in here that are experiencing homelessness or have experienced homelessness. And we would still love to know how we can help you. So come find me afterwards. I'd love to chat. For most of my life, I've been meeting people whose lives have been stolen from them. Absolutely just stolen from them. I was around a lot of trauma as a child and a lot of children that were abused. And so people that had suffered all kinds of unimaginable loss. You know, when you're a child and something happens to you, and many of you have walked through that scenario, you did nothing wrong. Your childhood was stolen from you and horrible things happened. In the book of Joshua, which is what I'm going to be looking at tonight, God's people are crossing this proverbial line in the sand. They're crossing the Jordan. They're going to take a few steps and enter into the promised land. And it may sound like a fairy tale. It may sound like they just signed up and they're waiting to get into Six Flags. But no, when they cross the land and cross that line and cross the Jordan, they're actually going to war. They're going to war. And once they step across that line, they won't be able to go back. The manna's going to stop falling. And they're going to turn from a life lived by human effort into one that is lived by faith and obedience. They're committing to go to war. They're committing to fight for what God wants for them. They are going to fight armies. They know they're going to fight this fortified city. They know they're going to be committed to living by faith and doing what God's called them to do. And they don't have any weapons. They don't have any siege weapons to break down a wall. They don't have a battering ram. They don't have any towers to lean up. Like if you watch Lord of the Rings, they got none of that stuff. They are just wandering in the desert for 40 years, and now they are stepping over into the promised land to go fight with Jericho. But they knew that's where God wanted them to go, and they knew this is where they wanted him to be, and they had to learn to trust him. You know, you may be here tonight because you need some healing, and you know that God wants you to be holy. But when you look at yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't see that. You see the struggles, you see your sin, you see that you might be covered from head to toe in it. You may be suffering unreconcilable pain from your family. But you know that God is calling you as just like them to cross that line. He's calling you to go to war against that stuff. He's calling you to go to battle and not go back. And so we're going to look at this holy war here. And we're going to talk a little bit about the holy war in our lives as we try to seek the Lord and step into these situations where we don't know what to do. Bow your head for a second. Let me pray for us. Father, I just pray that you would give me the words to fearlessly express the mystery of your gospel. And Lord, I pray for each person here that you would comfort them and heal them and draw them closer to you tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Joshua 5, starting in verse 13, this is one of the coolest parts of the Bible, in my opinion. They crossed the land. They had just worshiped the Lord after they crossed. They had Passover. They had a meal. And then it says this in chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, now remember, Jericho is one of the most fortified cities in the world at that time. It was said that the walls went up to the sky. They went so high. They had no capacity to fight this army, no capacity to seize those walls. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. Are you here to step into a war? Are you here to cross that line? Are you here because you're saying, "I'm not going back. I'm not doing that thing anymore. I'm here because I need help. I'm here because I need community. I'm here because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." If that's you, you're in the right place. And what do you do when you go to war and you have no idea what God's plan is and you have no idea what to do next? We're gonna see what Joshua did here. The first thing Joshua did is he acknowledged that the Lord was already there. You notice he didn't go around saying, "God, can you please come? Can you come help me?" He's not inviting God into the situation. He's looking up and recognizing that God is already there. There's so many times in Scripture where God shows up. God shows up in a mighty way, and it's not because people are finding him. You are not a believer because you pursued Jesus. You're a believer because he came and pursued you. A woman caught in adultery, and everyone's picking up rocks, and Jesus walks up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a flaming furnace, and they looked and they saw four because he was there. Daniel was surrounded by hungry lions, and you needed Jesus to protect you. The boy David was battling a giant, and he needed the Lord to help that stone fly. Maybe you're like Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit." Maybe you're here tonight because your spiritual tank is on E and you need Jesus to fill you up. Maybe like the guy in Mark chapter 5, you're hearing voices and want to hurt yourself and you need Jesus to show up. Maybe you're locked up and you need Jesus to break the chains, or you're drowning and you need him to walk across the water and to calm the storm and save you. The first thing we need to do when we're struggling is acknowledge that Jesus is already in the midst of your pain. Joshua asks him, he says, "Are you a friend or a foe?" And the guy says, "I'm the commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I'm at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want me to do?" "Neither one," he replied. "I'm the commander of the Lord's army." Joshua acknowledged that the Lord was there. But he also in that moment called on the Lord and said, "What do you want me to do?" If you are ready to battle the struggle in your life, you have to acknowledge that God is there and can rescue you. At our calling, I've worked with addicts for years. I became an addict when I was 12. I've worked with addicts in Dallas for almost 25 years. And I've taken so many people to rehab, so many people to detox, so many people to Dallas Behavioral Health or Green Oaks or all these other places. And every time I do, I take someone there, I tell them the same thing. You will never be clean because you've got enough willpower. You will never be clean because you have enough won't power. You will only find recovery when you realize that you have no power. And only God himself can walk you through this. This is where you are, and this is where I am. We have no power. He calls on the Lord and he says, "What do you want me to do?" This is what you need to say to God when you're struggling and you want healing in your life and you want that holiness and you're ready to cross that line. What do you want me to do? Do you recognize the Lord? Or are you trying to argue with him? Are you trying to negotiate with him? Are you trying to get it on your terms? I want to remind you, when you negotiate with God, he's God. It doesn't work that way because he does not negotiate with terrorists. And that's you. And that's me. We need to acknowledge the Lord is already there. We need to call upon the Lord. And we need to trust him. We need to trust that he will do the things that only he can do. This army was there and they needed to cross into the promised land. And before them was an impenetrable fortress, Jericho, a city with crazy tall walls. And there's no way they could fight it on their own. So what are they gonna do? They're gonna sit around and draw plans in the sand. They're gonna try to tunnel underneath the thing. They needed to trust the Lord for the things that only he can do. And the next scene, the Lord is gonna ask Joshua to do something crazy. And if you read it, you wouldn't believe me. And if I told you, you wouldn't believe me, but it goes like this. And if you've heard the story, you know what it is, and it sounds crazy. They marched around the city, blowing some horns. And they marched around the city and blowing some horns. And they did that a time and again and again and again. And then what happens? The walls fall down. The walls fall down, not because they have an army, not because they have a weapon, but because God is fighting for them. Each and every one of the people in this room either has a story like that where God did something they could never do on their own, or you're waiting for it. You're waiting for God to do something that you cannot do on your own. You're waiting for God to do the things that only he can do. And he will do it. He did it then with so many people in this book. He did it tonight with so many people that have those testimonies in this room. And he's ready to do that with you. Will you trust him? Maybe the Lord's asking you to follow some simple steps. There's only 12. It's not that hard. I mean, come on. I started going to AA meetings in the 90s, not because I'm an alcoholic. I've never drank anything. I grew up with a bunch of alcoholics and saw a lot of mess in my life, but it was the only recovery I could find. And it was the Lord himself that drew me into him. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I needed a power greater than myself. I needed all those steps and I needed the Lord to do it then and I still need the Lord to do it now. You need to acknowledge that the Lord is there. You need to call upon his name and you need to trust that he will do what only he can do. You know, you are very limited in what you can do. You're not that cool. You're not that strong. You're not that smart. You don't have all that cool and you don't have the riz, trust me. Whatever that means. You are here because you are surrounded by people in a room that recognize that they can't fix themselves. That there's a God who can. There's a God who can restore us to sanity. There's a God who can take what's broken in our life and heal us. There's a God that can put us where he wants us to be. There's a God that can take us into the promised land of recovery. And there's a God that's willing to fight for us. You realize when Joshua saw the Lord's not standing there with a picnic basket. He's standing there with a sword. And he doesn't swing the sword at Joshua. No, he's there to fight for him just like he's here to fight for you. Joshua, for some reason, recognized who the Lord was. He fell on his face before him. And that's what God needs us to do tonight. That's what God is calling each and every one of us to do, to acknowledge him, to call upon him, and to trust him. You know, in Regen, the first three steps are to admit, to believe, and to confess. It's the same thing. We need to admit that you can't fix yourself and that you're pretty messed up. I came to acknowledge that my life was out of control. We need to believe that God can do what only God can do. And then we have to have this one-on-one with Jesus. As I've taught AA meetings and NA meetings and been to so many meetings, the difference between this and an AA meeting is you can see each other. You know what I'm talking about? You go into an AA meeting and there's so much smoke, it's like 8 feet down. You can't see anything. It's just all cigarette smoke everywhere. But another thing that's different about this meeting is we have Christ. We look towards one that can fight for us. We look for one that's already there in the middle of our pain. We look towards the one that we call upon and we look to the one that we can trust. In this room, you are surrounded by lots of people with crazy stories of God doing things that only he can do.